Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
We will be patrolling the city by air, by sea, on the ground, and in the subway system. Thousands of New York City police officers will be deployed around the city and in Times Square, making sure people celebrating the new year will be safe.
One of the coolest things to do is go at least once in your life, and maybe on a bucket list of yours, to go and see the big giant ball, supposedly, drop on Times Square. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Happy, happy New Year. Do you believe it? We're at the tail end of 2014, kicking it away and jumping into 2015. So you heard there that precautions have to be taken, of course, because you have such large crowds that descend into New York, even if they're not at Times Square, they're all over the place. It's a very popular time to go and celebrate. And there's always threats. New York, let's face it, is a target for terrorists. So they're just being extra careful about how they proceed in the city. And you heard, you know, the copters in the air and, you know, really looking in every possible space we can. That was Chief James O'Neill doing what they have to do, thousands of officers. You know, having just been to New York, I guess, August and the beginning of September, and I've noticed this the last couple times I've been there, there are a lot of police. I mean, everywhere you look, there were a lot of police. I have to say, I did not feel, you know, I felt pretty safe, actually, in the city. But now there's all these extra tensions because of the two police officers being killed 5 days before Christmas and the police being targets for random nuts who are thinking they just want to make a statement and going after them. So it's been a little bit crazy. In fact, two Boston cops kicked, punched, choked while they were making an arrest. And there are other reports of cops being shot at, people trying to run over a cop. And the two Boston police officers had to be hospitalized because they really were attacked. And this was six teenagers, although they say this was really related to the person that they were arresting. The officers went to an apartment in the city in the Roxbury neighborhood, right? It can be a little dicey. They were doing a warrant. They were serving a warrant on a 19-year-old, just a typical routine thing that you would do because he defaulted on a court appearance. And then before you know it, it was just a massive attack. Seven people in all were arrested. Seven people. Now, the mayor said the assault, because now this is the other thing. You either come out and you say this is related to the national tensions over police conduct following the killings of the unarmed men in Missouri and New York City, or you say we just want to make it clear, it has nothing to do with it. And they, the mayor, Martin Walsh, said, no, this has nothing to do with all of that national tension because it's being reported that it has something to do with it because of some of the things that were being yelled about, I can't breathe and choke and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it was a very nasty attack. And there's more assaults just in general on the rise, to be sure. Coming up in this hour of America Tonight, you know, we're looking back at some of the big interviews or interviews that I thought were meaty. In other words, there was something really great that happened in the interview. And Nick Scow came on with us, and I just couldn't get enough of Nick Scow. He's coming back on again next year to look at some big stories. He's a true journalist, one of the rare breeds in California, breaking stories. And he wrote a book called Kill the Messenger, and it was about Gary Webb, who exposed something crazy that was going on in the drug, so-called drug wars. And he had his career and his life really ultimately crumble. And Scow writes about that, and that became a movie with Jeremy Renner. And I actually saw the movie, and it was very, very good. And the book is good as well. But he talks about what's happened to investigative journalism, that now it's just like lemmings, and people just write whatever, and it's tougher to break through certain levels to try to get to the truth. And he's that guy, and I just really enjoyed speaking with him. And then also Greg James, who has a magazine called Marijuana Venture, and he's not a big dope smoking guy. In fact, he doesn't even smoke marijuana, but the magazine is all about things surrounding the business of pot because of the legalization of pot in Colorado and Washington and Oregon, and that being on the ballot a lot, and the discussion about marijuana, medical marijuana, and just legalizing marijuana in general. He had some interesting things to say about what he's seen and places that he's been in growing and visiting growers, and how things have changed a little bit. And of course, this year was the year of all the big stories in 2014. Colorado especially seemed to be the state that most people talked about. The then New York Times writer Maureen Dowd wrote heavily about a trip, or she did a column about a trip to Colorado and trying pot, and it just blowing her mind that she had not, somebody gave her, I think it was a pot brownie, and it was over the top. And one of the things with marijuana and people making those trips, because they can make trips to Colorado and it's become that kind of a thing or wherever, is the different strains and what they do to people who have no clue. And then ultimately what the business of selling marijuana is like, and will this become even bigger because of the money the municipalities can make ultimately on it? And the fact is that they're making a lot of money off the taxation of marijuana. So interesting conversation with Greg James, to say the least, and both of those are coming up. Coming up next on America Tonight, I wanted to squeeze in another mailbag, a lot of you with some final thoughts on 2014, things to look ahead to, and where we're headed in 2015, the big issues. Immigration is going to be tackled because the Department of Homeland Security is only funded through February, and the president had the executive action that kicked in, about immigration, but it has to be funded. And now you've got both chambers that have majority Republicans, so a difference there coming into the new year. What is that going to be like? How much legislation is going through? And immigration is going to be one of those thorny issues. Also, more on health care, Obamacare, and now that fines are going to be levied, and that's one of the things you have to put on tax returns, and plus the Supreme Court is hearing oral arguments in the beginning of March on subsidies, and that could have a rippling effect on Obamacare. In fact, we're taking the show to Washington, so we'll be there at the Supreme Court broadcasting for a couple of days and getting healthcare workers' opinions and talking to different congresspeople and senators about, you know, what they see is happening in the future. So it'll be pretty interesting, to say the least. That's going to be one of the big things that the Supreme Court takes up. But stay with us, because coming up next, as we continue to ring in or get prepared for ringing in 2015, your thoughts on a whole bunch of different things as we dip into the mailbag on ATN. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Adam Miller here with Midas Resources. Today, December 12, 2014, gold opened at $12,1660. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $12,6134, $6,3067 for a half ounce, or $3,1533 for a quarter ounce. That's $12,6134, $6,3067, and $3,1533.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Her hands are never cold. She's got Betty Davis eyes. She'll turn the music on. You won't have to think twice. She's pure as New York snow. She's got Betty Davis eyes. She'll unheave you. Her better just please you. She's kosher and she knows
Grim.
Just what it takes.
I think I hear you there in the background.
Yeah, I'm here.
You got drowned out. We were playing a little music for you. So what's on your mind?
I was enjoying it. But
yeah, I was too.
I'm, you know, kind of curious if, you know, if it's going to be a full moon that night, because if it is, then you know the crazies will be out up there in New York. And I pray that it's just going to be a good New Year and not a violent one or a rough one or any other kind of one except one to celebrate the New Year.
But, boy, I do too, because, you know, a lot of good people go and celebrate, even with families. They take their families up there, and, yeah, you don't want to see something bad happen, obviously. Let's hope we do have a safe, peaceful New Year.
And then speaking of the moon, if we had the transporter, you could not only watch the crystal ball drop, but you could come down to Mobile and watch the moon pie drop in Mobile.
Oh, how fun would that be?
Yeah, that would be great. So, you know, it's better to be creative than destructive. So we can possibly one day have a transporter like on Star Trek and go from one end of the country and celebrate it each and every hour, even all the way to Hawaii. That would be such a dream.
I like it. You're thinking like the Sci-Fi Channel. Good deal.
That's pretty... kind of way out there, but that's a New Year's wish for everybody. Let's all get along and just enjoy it.
I agree. What a perfect way to end this, Grim. Happy New Year to you again. And good thoughts for good people out there, for everyone in America. Remember, let's just keep it nice. Let's keep it simple and not be crazy and do destructive things on a night where there is the potential for that to sadly happen. And we don't want to see lives destroyed. We want to see people thrive, if anything, because that's that whole optimism thing heading into to 2015. All right, I want to make sure I hit another mailbag. So on that note, let's dip into the mail.
You have mail, mistress.
Kate, what do you think about the wreckage being found? This is Mary listening to you in Louisiana. So I think it's great, of course, because there's closure. Is there such a thing as a good ending to this? No. You have a young person, you have a daughter, you have a son, you have a husband, you have family members, friends that get onto planes and are get onto this plane, and it's just a short hop, and they're going to Singapore, and that's it. The plane disappears off the radar suddenly. And that's what everybody's talking about. You try to find out every piece of information you can. You're living on the edge. You think they're not going to find the plane. Then you get deluded into thinking maybe they'll find the plane and everyone's okay. And then suddenly you look over at the TV and they're bringing bodies up out of the water. And that's somebody you know. Awful. Flight 8501. I mean, the good news is that they found it, actually, because it's not a great closure, but there is some kind of closure. And what happened? Was it some kind of pilot thing combined with the weather and trying to climb? You know, we don't know yet at this point. And see, here's the thing. When the planes go down and you say, well, there's 162 people on board, 162 people on this plane, and you don't know the people, you don't know their stories, you just know, I know there's some young people. But the one story I did see, because I always want to know the story. I want to know some of the backstories. And one story I heard was that there was a guy and his wife and his 13-year-old son and 9-year-old daughter. And, then the plane goes down. And the plane goes down, and the family, the other family members, know that they're on board this flight. And, of course, now they're crazed. I mean, they're crazed in thinking about it. And this was Jimmy Sentosa Winata and his wife and 13-year-old son and 9-year-old daughter. And now, you know, I mean, they're gone. And then there was a British national that was on the flight, Choi Chi Man, and he was traveling on the plane with his 2-year-old daughter, Zoe. And they were on the plane. He had tweeted a picture of her before they left and that kind of stuff. And unfortunately, on that plane when it went down. And so there, you know, that's what you got to remember. There's all these lives, all these people that touched other people. And it's not just the people on that plane. So anyway, to me, the good news is that they did find the plane. Better to know than to be left guessing. Better to have some kind of ceremonial burial and whatever they want to do, at least to provide some sense of closure. It's never enough, but at least they have that. All right, let's move on to this one. Jimbo says, Katie girl, I know that you follow sports. I love it when you talk about sports. Who do you think wins the national title game? Oh. Well, we have the two semifinals coming up, and in the Rose and the Sugar Bowl. So, you know, you have four teams left, and a lot of people I know really like Ohio State. I mean, they really think Ohio State is going to get there and win. And I would say, to me, it's always tough to get by Nick Saban. Oh, so tough to get by Saban. And I think that Alabama's going to do it again. I do. I think that game with Ohio State is going to be a very, very close game. And it's, you know, in college football, the way that clock works, I think it comes down to the last moments of the game. But I think Alabama wins. I think Alabama wins the whole thing. Of course, it'd be interesting if Oregon did. It would be interesting for any of those teams. Obviously, Florida State won last year. They're back again to play in the semifinal matchup, and you can't count them out. But I guess I like Alabama. So I'm just going to say that. I think they're going to put up points, and it's going to be Alabama. How about this one from Lewis, who says, Kate, end of the year, top story, hands down. What was it for you? Well, Ebola. You know, there were a lot of stories that we could point to, and I have pointed to them. Immigration, ISIS, the beheadings, the terrorism, that kind of stuff. Certainly. But Ebola, because, first of all, our mini satellite facility is here in Dallas, Texas. And that's where Thomas Duncan came in, and that's where he wasn't treated originally, then went back to the hospital, and everything really exploded from there. One of the stories, anyway. And the two nurses getting Ebola, then recovering, luckily, and just initially what happened. And I'll never forget Dr. Brantley describing it like being through hell, that he thought for sure he was dead, and he survived, and then tried to help anyone else who got Ebola, and how chilling it is. So chilling, and I was so fascinated by this virus. I read the book Hot Zone, which I would recommend to anyone, because it's kind of like a novel, but it's real. It's a real story. And when you read it, and you read about how it appeared first, and some of the things that have happened to people who have Ebola and those that recover, it's really frightening. It really, really is. There's so many viruses that you can get, obviously, but that's one you surely do not want to get. All right, quickly, I want to wrap up another one, and this one from Tommy. And Tommy says, hi, Kate, I just want to wish everybody listening to America tonight a happy, peaceful, and prosperous new year. I hope people hold happiness and love in their hearts as we start things off in January. And one last one. What do you think is going to happen with the Dallas Cowboys? Wow, a lot of predictions. Like, I'm looking into my wild crystal ball here. I think that, well, the road to the Super Bowl goes through in the NFC, Seattle, and the AFC, New England, and Cowboy fans will be disappointed by this. I think the Cowboys could be the wild card. I think the Cowboys are capable of going up to Seattle and beating Seattle and maybe going to the Super Bowl. But if I am forced to pick, Seattle and New England look really, really good. I think it's going to be tough to get by them. The only wild card would be, I would say, if there's a team that can get through, it could be the Cowboys against the Seattle Seahawks, for sure. All right, stay with us. Coming up, we have a couple of great interviews. Nick Scow, Greg James. Hang loose, everyone. Merry, merry, happy, happy. See you soon.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red products on sale now button. You can always call toll free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
You're listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-297-0154. That's 800-297-0154.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
That's 800-297-0154.
Hey everyone, I'm having lots of fun with my new Ghost 80% AR-15. This baby shoots like a dream. Hey, thanks, Guns80.com. You know, friends ask me all the time why I wanted a Ghost AR-15. That's easy. You see, my buddy Mark kept telling me that I'd better go to Guns80.com to get myself a Ghost AR-15 before they outlawed them. I thought he was just paranoid, so I ignored him. Well, at first. But then I started hearing government media types talking about making guns illegal, about the president signing on to a UN treaty that could take my gun rights away. You know, it really bugged me. So I dug in, I did the research, and I realized that Mark was right all along. I know now that having an unregistered Ghost AR-15 is the right answer. I'm a proud 80% Ghost AR-15 convert. You should be too. The answer is really simple. Get your Ghost AR-15 at GunsAD.com. The big sale is on right now. Go to GunsAD.com. That's GunsAD.com. Guns80.com.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
And this book is awesome. And now we got a movie coming out. Nick Scow is in our virtual green room, if there is such a thing. And he's the author of the book, Kill the Messenger, which this new film is based on that's coming out starring Jeremy Renner. It opens up, I think, this week. And it's the true story of journalist Gary Webb, who had the Dark Alliance series in the 90s, if you remember, that was linked to crack cocaine in L.A. and elsewhere to some other drug traffickers, along with the CIA's Contra Army in Nicaragua. Nick, thanks for coming on the show.
Much appreciated. Thanks for having me.
All right, so for you, let's roll back to Kill the Messenger and pulling that book together. Man, it must have been wild weaving your way through some really dark corners. What was that like, pulling that together?
Well, in some ways it was easy because at the time Dark Alliance came out, I was a young reporter here in Orange County, and the story had unfolded. In my neck of the woods, there was a ex-Orange County police officer that somehow got wrapped into this drug ring. So I had actually reported on it at the time. And, you know, I saw what happened with Gary's story, how it kind of got out of his hands, how it got spun in different directions, and his career was destroyed as a result. So ultimately, when he committed suicide, I felt like, you know, this full story needed to be told, and that's why I decided to write the book.
Yeah, and when you talk about the full story, and you talk about ultimately Webb and taking his own life, was it just that he was overcome with what he had, you know, been in the middle of, or what was it that ultimately led to that?
Yeah, well, you know, Gary's story quickly turned him into a celebrity, but after the nation's biggest newspapers ganged up on him and then went through his entire career seeking to sort of discredit him, he basically got hounded out of journalism. He never worked in daily journalism again after that, and it led to a sort of a downward spiral in his life. And so my book was, you know, an attempt to kind of reexamine the story, what it got right, what it got wrong, and his entire career, what kind of a reporter Gary Webb was, and what this says about the state of journalism in America. And so, for sure, there were, you know, complicating factors that led to his demise, but the biggest event in his life by far was Dark Alliance.
Yeah. Nick, what do you think of the current state of journalism right now in the United States?
It's sad. As a, I feel lucky to be employed in print journalism, and I think the film actually really captures this very well. Just the difference between today and back in the 90s, when print reporting was still much more powerful in industry than it is now. And of course, Dark Alliance is one of the first big major newspaper exposés to be published on the internet, and so it kind of happened at a really interesting time. And things have sure changed since then. And it's very difficult for news reporters to do their job when they can't make a living as investigative reporters. We need more Gary Webbs and, you know, less gawkers, I think.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you say that, because investigative reporting, people, somebody would be just amazing. And there's I went to journalism school, and I can remember all the heavy hitters, and everybody picked different people that they liked. They liked their particular style of writing. And so many of us aspire to do that and have the time and the resources to do it. And that's part of the problem, of course, now, as you were saying, and with papers, they don't have investigative journalists so much anymore. So that's fallen by the wayside. But how much do you think that hurts the information that gets out to the masses, because those investigative reporters broke huge stories, and, you know, they would pursue it to no abandon, even at sometimes risking their own lives. And I think personally, some information now falls right through the cracks because there's no one there to catch it. What do you say?
I think that even at the height of investigating reporting, there were secrets that should have been uncovered that weren't. And so for sure now, where you have far fewer investigative reporters and serious newspapers and media outlets actually trying to do that type of work, there's much more that's secret. And so if it weren't for, quite frankly, these very controversial leakers like Snowden and Manning, for example, I think a lot of this stuff wouldn't be known to the public that we now know about. But those leaks did reveal, like, the level of abuse of you know, secrecy that the government has been perpetrating in recent years, and it was a total shock to the world because it had not been uncovered by journalists. So who knows, you know, what how these secrets might have gotten out had the media been able to do its job more effectively. But a big thing about government secrecy is quite often not anything involving real secrets or secrets that are necessary, but just trying to keep the public from knowing about embarrassing behavior by our government. And for sure, Gary Webb, when he wrote Dark Alliance, embarrassed a lot of people and made the government look pretty bad.
Yeah, so you come along with, as we were saying, Kill the Messenger, and then you have Dark Alliance, now you have this movie. Did you have a chance to interact at all with anything to do with the movie?
Well, by the time the book came out, I was approached by the screenwriter who ended up writing the script. And so I worked closely with him and also getting the Webb family involved in the project as well. And I was really lucky, actually, to be able to go on set once production finally started in Atlanta for a couple of days. And I was actually an extra because I found out that they were actually trying to hire real journalists as extras for the newsroom scenes. And so I pointed out to one of the producers that I happened to be a journalist and that I was available. So they were kind to include me in a couple of shots.
So was that pretty cool to be on the set to see that come to life?
It was cool. And in fact, I met other like former journalists that had lost work that were actually getting work as extras portraying real journalists in film productions, which was, you know, a little bittersweet. But, you know, that's the way it goes. It was still very exciting, of course.
Yeah. And you said you're lucky to still be in the business. Of course, you're the managing editor of OC Weekly. How do you keep that pumping out there and people engaged in it?
Well, I mean, the main thing as an editor, which is a new position for me after being a reporter for so many years, is trying to motivate younger reporters and try to mentor them and kind of keep that faith alive. And when you do that effectively and when your writers are really invested in the stories they write, you know, it's something that sort of keeps the spirit of journalism alive. And it is its own reward, I guess, is the best way to put it. And, I just feel it's a calling. Journalism is really something that I think, despite all of the dangers that it seems to be facing as a profession, is something that everybody who's involved with it should feel very lucky to be a part of.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. All right, you pumped out some more pulp, too. You also wrote Orange Sunshine and The Weed Runners. Tell me about The Weed Runners.
Yeah, so a big story in California over the last several years, of course, has been medical marijuana. And so Weed Runners is basically taking a look at how California functions in this underground pot economy and the kind of disconnect there is between on the one hand, you have medical marijuana activists and patient groups that are trying to get access for something that's legal, at least in California, now in other states like Colorado and Washington State, and where the real money is typically made, which is all over the country. So it's a very tricky industry to cover, for example, because when I pitched the book originally, it looked like recreational marijuana was, you know, the wave of the future. Even in California, it looked very close to happening. And then all of a sudden, the Obama administration decided to crack down on the industry, and all my sources sort of went scattering a little bit. But it's certainly a very exciting industry to cover. And The Weed Runners tells the story through all these different characters of the last several years of the pot wars.
Yeah, and Orange Sunshine, what's that?
Orange Sunshine was probably the funnest story I've ever written. It was about a group of Laguna Beach hippies and surfers who basically befriended Timothy Leary, and they set up a big drug distribution network that took hash all the way from Afghanistan to the streets of Southern California and beyond, and they also invented their own form of LSD, which was Orange Sunshine, which was very famous back in the day. And it was kind of one of the last really mysterious groups of the 1960s that no one had ever really managed to penetrate, and I was able to track down a lot of members of the Brotherhood of Eternal Love. That was their name. The Rolling Stone magazine called them the Hippie Mafia. And, you know, I got them to tell their story for the first time, which was really exciting to do.
And no kidding. So this, Kill the Messenger, the movie, have you already seen it?
I have, yes. I attended the premiere and saw it for the first time in New York on October 9th.
So I know you're not going to give us a thumbs down. Was it cool to sit there and see it? Was it good?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a really, although it is a very serious story and a tragic one in some ways, the movie itself is actually very thrilling. You get to sort of follow Gary Webb as he discovers the secrets behind Dark Alliance and chasing after all these sources going down to Central America, for example. And then you see the aftermath of the story as well. So it's a really important movie, and I'm really glad that Focus Features made it, and especially glad that Jeremy Renner decided to not only produce this movie, which is how it got made, obviously, but also star as Gary Webb. It's one of his best performances ever, certainly, you know, his best performance since The Hurt Locker.
Yeah, I would imagine you had a chance to hang with him a little bit. Was he pretty cool?
Oh, super cool. Yeah. Yeah. He's, you know, he's a very charismatic guy, and he really captures Gary Webb's personality very well. Having actually known Gary Webb, you know, at the time that he was doing this work, Renner really got it. And it really comes across in the movie.
Awesome. Can't wait to see it. Nick Scow, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Alex Jones here. For the last 2 years, I've been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to design a nutraceutical formulation that has truly life-changing health benefits. So many other formulations out there contain toxic ingredients, synthetic additives, and even GMOs. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure ancient defense for you and your family. Visit InfoWarsLife.com or call 1-888-253-3139. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Award-winning Nobel Prize nominee Dr. Joel Wallach will be speaking January 7th at Faith Tabernacle Church, 2025 4th Street, North Minneapolis, and January 8th, Shiloh Temple, 1201 West Broadway Avenue, North Minneapolis. For more information, call 763-291-5052 or 763-221-8432. That's 763-291-5052 or 763-221-8432.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Alaska, District of Columbia, Oregon, all are heading to the polls, not just to vote people in or out shuffling along the halls of Congress, but also to cast their votes on whether recreational pot use should be legal in their home state. It's already legal, as we all know, in Colorado and Washington. And there are a lot of states that are looking at what has happened, the revenues that are coming in versus some of the other things that have happened, and weighing whether it's worth it or not from the financial point of view. And Colorado is really the test drive state, without a doubt. Greg James is the publisher of Marijuana Venture Magazine. It's a trade magazine, a business-to-business trade magazine. It covers a large swath, everything in the industry, law, politics, finance, and all the things in between that would normally maybe fall through the cracks. Greg, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Hey, my pleasure, Kate. Thanks for having me.
So kind of look in your crystal ball, if you will. What do you think as you see what happened in Colorado and Washington? And we've talked to several people who have gone into the marijuana business at different levels, including, you know, running a dispensary, if you will, and telling us some of the things that they've had to deal with. But really, literally, in Colorado especially, the explosion and trying to keep up with the demand. But I think when you look at the dollars of this, that's what the states are concerned with. Do you think when it's all said and done, we're going to see more states legalizing marijuana?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm not sure about the states around Colorado. I mean, you know, if you look at a map of the U.S., obviously they've got Utah, Wyoming, Nebraska, and Kansas, and Texas and Oklahoma. So I'm not sure a lot of people around, a lot of states around Colorado are going to be as liberal as they are with pot. But up here, we've got Oregon next door, which is voting to legalize recreational marijuana this fall, and then Alaska, and then also California. So I have a feeling the West Coast is going to go pretty much legal, you know, recreationally legal anyway in the next few years.
What
I
do
mean,
you
to
think?
Me, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. To me, it's all about money, you know, it's about tax revenues, and, you know, it just kind of makes sense.
Right, that's what I was going to say. The tax revenue wins out, even where they're trying to not portray it necessarily as that. Do you think California goes full board? Do you think we're going to see California jump into this? Because why hasn't California been on top of this?
Well, you know, that's a very funny question. You would have thought that they would have been the first. Now, the irony is that in California, it's the medical community, from what I've heard, that doesn't want legal recreational marijuana, or at least has been kind of fighting it. And the reason for that is that a lot of the medical dispensaries are kind of unregulated and untaxed. So they're sort of not as keen for full recreational legalized pot as you might imagine. You know, in Washington State, for example, the tax rate's pretty high. It's about 25% at each level. And up here, just like in California, the medical folks aren't regulated. So they're not as excited as you might think for that very reason, because they know, you know, they may have to pay taxes.
Yeah. How about for the people running these marijuana shops, let's say? It's very strange because they have to have a lot of times bodyguards and safes and, well, they do have a safe and cash. It's a cash business. Is that because, okay, we want your money, we want to tax the money, but we don't want to, the banks don't want to touch that money. Do you think that changes eventually?
Yeah, actually, I think in Washington there are now two banks that are, I guess from what I've heard, there are two banks that are kind of dipping their toes in the water now and taking on 502 clients. And 502 was the initiative up here that legalized recreational marijuana. So I see that changing. You know, the other thing is I think the federal government realizes that they don't want all these businesses handling all this cash because it is dangerous. So I think that's inevitable also. You know, it's going to change and banks are going to start to take the money. I think in Washington, there's a credit union in Spokane that has started to take on I-502 customers.
As far as the production of marijuana is concerned, because one of the people that I've had on this show several times was telling me that they can't even keep up with the demand. So it's all about, boom, we've hired more people. We've got more people in the shop. We have amazing strains of marijuana that we've worked with. And often the novice comes in and they have no idea. I just want to try some pot. Or I had pot when I was back in college and I can't even remember, how much can I get? Because there's a certain limit, obviously, when you come from other places. But from the production side of it, it's just exploded too, right?
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. You know, the part that kind of interests me is the outdoor growing. And I was actually up in North Central Washington last weekend, visiting some outdoor growers there, and it's a mind blower to walk through a half an acre of 7, 8, 9 feet tall marijuana plants that are all totally legal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the kind of thing that 20 years ago would have made the front page of the New York Times. And, you know, I was being given the tour, and these plants are huge. I mean, this particular grower had about 3,000 pounds of buds that were about ready to be harvested. So it was, it was pretty cool to see. I mean, you know, I never thought in my lifetime that I'd be, you know, walking around a legal outdoor big plantation right out in the open in the U.S.
Now, that big plantation, did they have to have people guarding it? Because maybe some people would come in and try to steal the plants or whatnot, or nah, it was okay?
Well, you know, up here, I think it's the same as in Colorado. They have pretty strict rules on security. So the, it was surrounded by an 8-foot tall, like a chain link fence that you couldn't see through. And then he had barbed wire on the top. And of course there were cameras. So it'd be pretty hard to rip it off. And the state, you know, Washington has been, very strict about security. You have to have security cameras. You have to have a big fence. You have to have badges to get in and out. You know, there's a lot of those kind of requirements. But if they're cool with letting you in, you can literally go walk around, you know, a half an acre of pot, and it's a pretty mind blowing experience.
Yeah, when we look at the economics of this, from what I can see from, and you're just, you know, describing how mind-blowing it was walking through there, if for the person who runs the business, it just has exploded, hasn't it? I mean, people are making millions on this. Am I right?
Well, I mean, if you do the math, this guy had, he estimates, of course, he hadn't harvested it yet, but I'm trying to remember, he had about 1,000 plants that were probably going to yield 2 to 3 pounds of bud per plant. So you're, you know, 2 to 3,000 pounds a pot. Right now in Washington, because there's still a shortage, because they're a little slow on granting the licenses, he told me he was getting about $5,000 a pound. So, that's $10 to $15 million worth. And it was just sitting out in the open in a field in eastern Washington.
Yeah. What does that do?
And that's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. What does that do to the drug cartels and the people who are trying to move marijuana illegally? You know, they've got other harder substances and whatnot, but it's still part of, I'll call it, their arsenal. Has it cut into it or no, because there's just not enough states that have legalized it yet?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I should say I'm not personally a marijuana user myself. And as you know, Marijuana Venture is purely a business magazine, so we're not advocates. But, you know, one of the reasons I'm for legalization is for that very reason. I mean, I just think it's nutty that we're sending, you know, $20, $30 billion a year across the border into Mexico. It will for sure eventually cut into their profits. It has to. And I think that, I personally believe that more and more states are going to legalize it. They're going to take the tax revenue. They're going to hopefully regulate it well like they do up here. You know, they're not going to allow 21-year-olds or anyone under 21 to buy it. But it will cut into the drug cartels, and hopefully it will cut into some of that violence.
Yeah, boy, I so agree with that. Great to have you on the show, Greg James, Marijuana Venture Magazine. Thanks so much for coming on ATN.
Okay, thanks, Kate.
Interesting. So you heard Greg say there that, he wasn't... It's purely a business magazine. It's so interesting describing the walk that he took, and I agree with him. I would never have imagined in my lifetime that that would be possible, and I think more states, because of the money to be made, will absolutely legalize marijuana. Derek Jeter, his last at-bat was a fine one, part of Odds and Ends next.
It's time waits for no one. That's why you should hurry to not miss the Freeze Dry Guy's end-of-year K-Slot sale. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663 to receive 20 to 25% off Mountain House freeze-dried foods. Mountain House, the gold standard in long-term storage products, include real freeze-dried meats, entrees, eggs, fruits, and vegetables. Yes, 20 to 25% off now. Also receive 30% off other selected Mountain House foods and receive 30% off selected Packaway brand dehydrated foods. Just call 866-404-3663 and ask for the Freeze Dry Guy. Plus long-range patrol ration eggs and ham at superb discounts. But these are extremely hard to find and nearly gone, so call today. Ask about our LRP ice cream bars too. Some items limited to stock on hand. And remember, the Freeze Dry Guy pays for shipping to your door within the lower 48 states. Order now. Don't miss out on the Freeze Dry Guy's end-of-year K-Slot sale. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.